Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is that any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up. It must be Sunday night. It's like 4 minutes past 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and it's 4 minutes past 11 a.m. on Thursday here in Australia. So welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Man, I almost thought we had phones today. Oh! I think Bob and I are entering a new level of what the fuck. You know. I swear, I so thought we had the phones lit today, not by doing anything, just they suddenly decided that they wanted to work, and so Bob and I, being the diligent men that we are, decide we're going to test this thing six ways from Sunday, and we're going, yeah, we got it, and all right, let's try this from another line. Hey, Gene, give me a call. And it all crashed and burned. And, you know, see, Bob and I are used to, you know, dealing with weird crap. But usually there's some sort of rhyme or reason to the weirdness. I'm telling you, right now, Bob and I are just, you know, seriously walking around, you know, into walls going, I don't know. Makes no sense to me. If I didn't know any better, I'd say someone was trying to fuck with our heads. It's a new level of lunacy. And Tim's like, Obama don't like you. I really don't think it has anything to do with Barack Obama. I have no idea what it has to do with. And that's what really frustrates me. It's Monday in Australia, everyone. Monday. Always ahead. Remember, we're always ahead. But get away from me just going, I make the phones work. The phones drive me crazy. Really weird stuff going on here in Australia last week. You've probably seen some of the pictures, but yeah, the morning, I guess this was Wednesday morning. We get up on, about 6 o'clock in the morning, the alarm goes off, and seeping through the curtains is this strange red-orange glow. And Gail and I were kind of looking at each other like, what the hell? And we open up the blinds, and the whole sky is like this red-orange. And as the sun's coming up, it's just like this spooky glow. And we're like, what the hell's going on? So, you know, it would have been normal to do anyway. But, you know, turn the news on. I'm talking about that this huge amount of sand from the red center of the continent got picked up by this low pressure system and just carried 32,000 tons of red sand across the country. I mean, we're talking being in the middle of one of the most bizarre weather events I've ever seen. Gail went off to work, you know, and on second thought, we probably shouldn't have even gone. Because it was the worst pollution levels ever registered in the country's history. It was the worst sandstorm in 70 years. But 32,000 tons of sand. And if you go to today's show post, foxed.fox.dup.headonradionetwork.com, you'll see there's links to images. Flickr's got a group called the Red Sydney Project, and there's a whole bunch of really great photos in there and some video. But there's a NASA shot where you can see the size of this sandstorm. It stretched all the way from the northern areas of South Australia and Victoria all the way up into Queensland. Yeah, I'm going to get to the radiation too there, Tim. And there's been all kinds of discussion, of course, you know, immediately, you know, people are, you know, saying, you know, is this global warming? And although probably global warming's a factor, you know, I would imagine there'd be more of this dry shit because, well, this whole planet, this whole continent's just drier as, you know, drier every year. But whether the weather event that carried the sand was due to global warming, you know, and it's been interesting. There's all kinds of discussion, and I think, you know, some people are wanting, you know, the Bureau of Meteorology to come down and say, oh, there's no global warming, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it'd be really easy to do that. But really, we don't know. I mean, sandstorms have happened before. Now, you know, they go back and look at this, they could probably say, well, you know, if it hadn't been for global warming, there would have only been, you know, so much sand to be picked up. Because this is all like the, you know, in the driest of the Murray-Darling Basin is where this got picked up. In areas that only even, you know, in what are dry lake beds that might only flood once every 4 years anyway. So, I mean, this area of the country is dusty, you know, most of the time as it is, and I'd imagine that it's worse. You know, it just continues to get worse just as things generally get drier and nastier. But it was, aside from being, you know, surreal to look at, you know, you got to wonder if this is... Is this a sign of something that we're going to see more of? Is more the question that I want to ask. Is this a sign of things to come? Because it was only 3 days later, I guess it was Saturday, that in the morning it was all gray and sandy, hazy again. Because the winds were still kicking. I mean, they've still been going, being pretty consistent for the last few days. But, you know, there was probably already airborne sand and dust already, but is this something that we're going to see more of here? Gail and I, have been talking about it. You know, we've got an El Nino weather system coming in, which always ends up drying out the eastern half of this country. We've had some heavy rains in places. Creating lots of fresh new fuel. But if we're going into an El Nino, and the place is dry enough to have 32,000 tons of sand carried, you know, halfway across the continent, why do I say this doesn't bode well for this summer? I have to say that I'm fairly concerned. I think it could be are we going to end up having a season where we're going to be looking at, you know, Black Sunday last year as pale in comparison to what we see this year? But anyway, you know, aside from all the, you know, the lost productivity and I'm sorry, health fanatic people, sometimes y'all can be really friggin' stupid. All over the news, as you know, as they're showing all these images of the place all dusted out red and people wearing, you know, face masks and things like that, there are still people out there, you know, doing their jogging, doing their this, doing their that. It's like, excuse me. There's a whole bunch of shit floating in the air that's not normally here. And you're still going to go out there and just really, really deeply breathe all this crap in. What, he's stupid? You know, and then these people end up in the hospital next to, you know, the elderly and those with breathing problems and wasting their time. I mean, you know, come on. You know, one of the most common shots out there was, you know, this woman who does obviously personal boxing training in the morning in the city somewhere. And, you know, she's still out there pumping at it when you can't see, you know, 10 meters past her because of the sand in the air. You know, when does it, you know, click in your brain that maybe today might not be the day to go out there and do that there exercise routine? But hey, that's just me. Bob's sending me a video of the red sky image. You want me to play this on air, do you? As Tim says, 10 meters, that's 33 feet, folks. I mean, from the short side shot from the Opera House, you couldn't even see the Opera House. It just, you know, crazy. But, and I find it interesting. I was sent a couple of things. You know, I was asked if I knew about the diseases being spread by the dust storm. No, and that comes out of a UK paper. And then I get another thing about radioactivity in the dust. And no, I hadn't heard about that. That actually came out of the ABC, but I've hardly heard any mention of any of this stuff in the local press here. It says here over at The Guardian that dust storms spread deadly diseases worldwide. Huge dust storms like the ones that blanketed Sydney twice last week hit Queensland yesterday and turned the air red as much of eastern Australia, blah, 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 blah. However, they can also absorb climate change emissions, say researchers, studying that little is understood about the growing phenomenon of dust storms. So they're saying it's a growing phenomenon. Storm which left millions of people choking on some of the worst air pollution in 70 years was a consequence of the 10-year drought that has turned parts of Australia's interior into a giant dust bowl, providing perfect conditions for high winds to whip loose soil into the air and carry it thousands of miles across the continent. It followed major dust storms this year in northern China, Iraq and Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, East Africa, Arizona, and other arid areas. Most of the storms are also linked to droughts, but are believed to have been exacerbated by deforestation, overgrazing of pastures, and climate change. As diplomats talking about G20, Lawrence Bury is chief researcher at the World Meteorological Organization in Geneva, which is working with 40 countries to develop a dust storm warning system, he said. I think the droughts and dust storms in Australia are a harbinger. Dust storms are a natural phenomenon, but are influenced by human activities and are now just as serious as traffic and industrial air pollution. The minute particles act like urban smog or acid rain that can penetrate deep into the human body. See, like, you know. Tim, you've mentioned this before, you know, about the Chinese believing if the sky is red, there's a chance of an earthquake. I know, I've heard that, but, well, we did actually have a couple of quakes around the area, now that you mentioned it with it. I mean, it was kind of like a day of everything. It was just crazy. I'm wondering how does that apply? Or is it just like trivia? The They continue on saying Saharan storms are thought to be responsible for spreading lethal meningitis spores throughout semi-arid Central Africa, where up to 250,000 people, particularly children, contract the disease each year and 25,000 die. There's evidence that the dust can mobilize meningitis in the bloodstream. Nice! Higher temperatures and more intense storms are also linked to valley fever, a disease contracted from a fungus in the soil of the Central Valley of California. The American Academy of Microbiology estimates that 200,000 Americans go down with valley fever each year, 200 of whom will die. The number of cases in Arizona and California almost quadrupled in the decade to 2006. Okay, so this is kind of playing along what I'm saying here. You know, is this a harbinger of where something that we're going to see more of? Because, I mean, this place where I live is just kind of like drying up. Yeah, and you know, I'd be thinking Southern California, folks out in the Saguaro Desert got to be really worrying about this kind of thing. You know, they were already dry places, but you make them this much more dry, and, you know, more and more energy in that in the weather system itself. You're going to have times of higher wind. It's just going to happen. You know, like I, as I've been saying for ages, you know, that this whole global environment is you know, is a massive feedback loop. Keep pumping energy into it, it's just going to keep accelerating. At least that's how it appears to me and many other people out there. Now, there's also worry, and thanks to Tim for actually pointing this to me, is the fact that there's some open uranium mines in the area where this dust came from. And so there seems to be a bit of a worry that it could have been raining radioactive particles. Whee! Thanks. Ah, it's safe! Nothing will happen! You don't have to worry. We can dig that crap out of the ground. No worries. Nothing will ever happen. Ah, but we couldn't have seen that there was going to be just some ridiculous sandstorm that's going to pick a whole bunch of the crap up off the ground and spread it all over the country. Yikes. Big yikes. Well, like I said, we're still fighting with the phones. But we do have the Skype line working. So if you want to connect up with the show, you can do it via Skype. And you just check out, search us up on Foxdup, F-O-X-D-U-P. Tell me you're a listener and I'll add you to my contacts. And so, you know, you got any thoughts on this or anything else that's been going on? I mean, we got all this crap going on with Iran suddenly. It's always really convenient. There's always something to talk about with Iran. And, you know, there's heaps more to do. But anyway, let's play some music. And we're going to do a review of this next week because it's not officially out yet, but I was sent a leaked copy. And, oh, does it kick ass. But we'll be doing a full review of the new Alice in Chains record next week. Released in stores tomorrow, off Black Gives Way to Blue. Your decision. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
And alcohol. Everybody loves it, and so do I. And President George W. Bush will party tonight. Damn the consequences. Another shot. The sky's the limit. We resolve to party all the way to God.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And been talking about the dust storms here, and if you want to get in on the program, we're still stuck with the Skype alternative this week, so you can get in touch with us via Skype at FOXDUP. Let us know you're a listener, and we'll add you to the contacts. And I was reading about disease and all that kind of stuff that could be being spread by these dust storms. Further down in the Guardian piece that I was reading from before, it says, however, research increasingly suggests that the dust could be mitigating climate change, both by reflecting sunlight into the atmosphere and fertilizing the oceans with nutrients. Iron-rich dust blown from Australia and from the Gobi and Sahara deserts is largely deposited in the oceans, where it's been observed to feed phytoplankton, the microscopic marine plants that are the first link in the oceanic food chain and absorb large amounts of carbon dioxide. In addition, the upper layers of the rainforest in Brazil are thought to derive much of their nutrient supply from the dust transported across the Atlantic from the Sahara. So, maybe, you know, could be some benefit, I don't know. But the idea of actually having nutrient topsoil lifted from farmers in the center of the country and then having most of it blow out to sea, I think, is probably not so good. Which is one of the things that's been happening. But they say, just as scientists struggle to understand how dust is affecting climate, evidence is showing that another airborne pollutant, soot, is potentially disastrous. Minute particles of carbon produced by diesel engines, forest fires, and the inefficient burning of wood and stoves is being carried just like dust to the remotest regions of the world. A study by the United Nations Environment Program has just concluded that the pollutant has played a major part in shrinking the Himalayan glaciers and has helped to disrupt the South Asian monsoon. Soot accounts from 10 to more than 45% of the contribution to global warming, said Achim Steiner, director of the UN's Environment Program. It is linked to accelerated losses of glaciers in Asia because soot deposits darken ice, making it more vulnerable to melting. Yeah, you're right, Sparky. Volcanoes do the same thing. But, you know, I can definitely see more of this happening, at least here in Australia. I mean, you know, it's this huge rock that's kind of dry dust, you know, 90% of it. So, you know, we got Copenhagen coming up soon. And I'm not holding my breath or nothing. But, I do find it interesting, though, that at the G20, which has just, you know, gone by, and unfortunately overshadowed in the news by Gaddafi's 90-plus minute just diarrhea of the mouth episode, I'm a dinner jacket lunatic rantings. The Chinese have made an announcement about renewable energy. And they plan to get, I do believe it's 20 or 25% of their, or no, 15% of their power by renewable sources by 2020. And, you know, actually grabbing onto some of the toughest goals that any nation has set. So, will this hopefully throw the whole, you know, well, without China and India kind of talk on its head and say, well, look, we got China. Although the largest emitter of CO2, still not the largest per capita, that still is owned by the United States. But I'm kind of curious about Copenhagen for a couple of reasons. One, it'll be the first major climate talks that the United States is actually, you know, going to be a part of. The other part of it is Kevin Rudd's standing on the world stage is taking a bit of a step up. I think this is a good thing. And Bill Clinton had some mighty nice things to say about our Kevin Rudd this past week. But because, and I've been telling you all this, because Kevin Rudd and his government listened to what economists were saying about the global downturn, depression, recession, whatever the fuck you want to call it, and actually set up a proper stimulus program, which was even smaller than they wanted, Australia is weathering this whole thing better than any other developed nation on earth. And that is winning him some cred, as it should. In the international community, it's winning him a lot of cred. So at the G20, Kevin was given a bit of a more hands-on role, like an advisory role, was running some of the meetings and whatnot. And I like the fact that Kevin, you know, even though I think Kevin, the climate change legislation that they have together for this country is piss poor and weak. I also think that it's a start. And I think with China seeming to be getting on board with the program, and as Bill Maher said a couple of weeks ago, you know, it's kind of one of the benefits of China being what it is. They don't have to deal with flaky Congress people and whatnot. They can just kind of, okay, we are going to do this. You know, rubber stamp, do it. Not that I give up democracy for a climate bill. But Kevin's a smart dude. He's a policy wonk. And we need policy wonks. We need people having the discussion be people that know how to have a discussion. And just to, you know, we're this little country, right? And I always say, you know, we box way above our weight class in many, many things. And last week, there was a little piece in the Sydney Morning Herald saying here, Rudd, the smartest guy in the room, says Bill Clinton. Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has been given a huge rap by former U.S. President Bill Clinton, who says he's one of the world's smartest leaders. Mr. Clinton said his friend is well-read, well-informed, and an expert on China. And, you know, this is coming from probably one of the biggest-brained people that's ever been in public life, Bill Clinton. You know, love him, hate him, agree, disagree. You cannot deny this is one of the smartest, most intelligent men that's ever walked. You know, I mean, my favorite, you know, story with Bill Clinton is, you know, the numerous journalists, you know, who told the same story of Bill Clinton on the phone, you know, with foreign leaders and doing the New York Times crossword in pen and finishing it while, like, you know, doodling. I mean, you know, there's a lot of gray matter. Tim saying, Clinton said Rudd is a great drummer for AC/DC too. Yeah, different Rudd. Yeah, see, you mix all us Australians up, y'all think we're just drummers for AC/DC. the piece continues, says, Mr. Rudd, fresh from attending the first day of the United Nations Climate Change Conference in New York on Tuesday, was a guest at Mr. Clinton's own conference, the Clinton Global Initiative, across town at the Sheraton Hotel. The former president was introducing Mr. Rudd as a panelist, along with the president of Chile, Michelle Bachelet, in the opening session of the four-day conference to discuss key global issues. In my opinion, he is one of the most well-informed, well-read, intelligent leaders in the world today, Mr. Clinton told the audience. He praised Mr. Rudd for his government's recognition of the need to take urgent action on climate change and for its advocacy of the group of 20 major economies as a preferred vehicle than the smaller G8 to deal with the issues such as the global financial crisis and climate change. Mr. Clinton, who had breakfast with Mr. Rudd north of New York on Sunday, detailed Mr. Rudd's diplomatic background in East Asian affairs and described him as an expert on China. He told me he really didn't know much about America. Like most Australian politicians who know more about America than they know about Australia. That's what he told me Sunday when we were talking, Mr. Clinton said. He then proceeded to describe in excruciating detail George Washington's strategy to hold New York in the Revolutionary War. Mr. Clinton said Mr. Rudd told him that for his birthday on Monday, his wife, Therese Raine, had given him a book of maps that Washington used to hold New York. In other words, this guy's pretty smart. I couldn't think of a better guy to be, you know, to hear, hey, you're smart from. But, you know, I like having smart people. I'd rather smart people make mistakes than idiots. I'd rather smart people ask questions than idiots dive blindly forward. But anyway, you know, not expecting anything really great from Copenhagen. Maybe I'm just becoming pessimistic about these things. However, I'm going to see if I can find something on it. One of the things that come out of the G20 was some call for limits on executive pay. Let me see if I can find this. And I'd be interested to see if this actually popped up at all in the American media. Here we go. Now, I wonder if you're going to see anything about this in the States. Be really curious about this. Emboldened by the G20 leaders' commitment to crack down on executive pay, Australia looks set to take a leading role. Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has only just arrived home from the summit, but his government is signaling it will introduce legislation to address exorbitant executive salaries. There's already a bill before the parliament to limit executive pay payouts to 1 year's base salary, unless shareholders vote for a greater amount. The Productivity Commission will release its draft report on executive pay this week. Imagine if they tried to do this in the States. Now, they've been talking about this. They've been talking about this a little bit in the news, and of course, the opposition, the liberals, who are the right wing, and the truly pro-business party, are just like going, "No, you can't possibly do that. That's interfering with business." Blah 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 blah. But I think that there is, with what we've seen over the past, especially year, where people can completely screw a company up and still walk away with just boatloads. Aha. Here we go. Was that is that thank you, Tim? Yes, Tim. And Tim sends me from the AP, Obama against G20 executive bonus limits. Well, you know that if he actually said that he was, you know, he even if he said something like, "I'd like to discuss this," man, they'd be just, the right wing would just be out there just decimating him. But says here out of Washington, U.S. President Barack Obama does not believe G20 states should slap limits on executive pay, an official said Wednesday, as Europe readied a call for sanctions against banks that shell out billions on bonuses. A week before Obama hosts the next G20 summit of top political powers of developing nations in Pittsburgh. Okay, so this is written before the summit. The president feels very strongly about executive compensation and shares that concern about executive compensation practices. And I know that Rudd's is focusing really on the banks and financial institutions. And I think when you are the institutions that are kind of the circulatory system of the economy, I think that there's space for this kind of thing. I think it's perfectly fine for banks should be and used to be a regulated industry. You know, it should be regulated heavily because when it's not, we end up where we are. You know, I sit there and like, you know, I've tried to equate in my world what it would be like if what happens in big business happens in the rest of the world. So, you know, I could go and work for what? McDonald's. Make really, really shitty burgers. Make none of them look like the picture. Make the store fail. And then when I left, they give me what? 10-year salary? I mean, how on any level these people can make this work? But when you're talking about, Sparky mentioning it, you know, the banks will be regulated if Barney Frank has his way, and I sure hope Barney has his way. Barney gets beat up a lot, even on the left, and I sometimes don't understand why. I mean, he's not perfect, but bloody hell, he knows how to stand his ground. Yeah. The Glass-Steagall Act. I mean, that's you know, and I found it interesting. The other night on the ABC, there was an interview with former Labour Prime Minister. Can't think of his name at the moment. But he immediately mentioned, you know, talking about, you know, the situation with banks in the United States, blah, blah, blah. He you know, boom, Glass-Steagall Act, blah, 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 just rolled it off. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, here, it's an Australian prime minister, ex-prime minister, totally gets it and sees what was the switch that was thrown that made all this shit possible. Keating, thanks, Tim. And see, Keating's also responsible, kind of responsible for Australia weathering this thing really well as well. He's the one that finally floated the Australian dollar against the rest of the world's currencies, and even though it hurt at first, because once a little time went by, Australia's dollar has been much more stable, and it's been good for the long-term stability of the country. So, I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. And if you have a chance to see somewhere Keating the Musical on video, see it. It's hysterical. but Keating went straight to, you know, Glass-Steagall, and I'm just sitting there thinking, yeah, you know, I mean, he's a policy wonk too, and he's an educated guy, but he's an Australian, and he can see where this mess came from, and it's something that happened in the United States, and I think most people in the United States wouldn't know about Glass-Steagall and the Graham-Leach bill that basically undid all of the oversight and safety valves that were put in after the Great Depression. So, you know, it brings me back to this thing that I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, why, you know, I kind of find myself a bit speechless at some of the things that are coming out of the United States at the moment, where why is it that there's still this population in America that just refuses to see reality? Refuses to see the world for what it is. Refuses to see that the vitriol between members of the public is dangerous. That bankers, after screwing up a bank, can walk away with millions. How that's wrong. How continuing to shit in this nest that we call the earth, that's our home, and think it's okay. You know, how the Glenn Becks of the world get the FaceTime that they do. And I just, you know, I don't know if you got the sense of it there in the U.S., but I sure got a sense of it here, that the G20 meeting that just passed was the first one really, really showing the dwindled U.S. presence in the world. It was no longer the U.S. and everybody else. It felt more like everybody else, and the U.S. had, you know, was part of it. If not somewhat the uncle that got too drunk at the last family party, kind of being a bit quiet in the corner, except when it was his turn to speak. Kind of. And another email comes in, Gail, going, "It's Paul Keating!" Okay. Don't mind me. But yeah, it just appeared like, you know, instead of it all being about the U.S., you know, kind of stomping through and telling everybody else what was up, this time around, it felt different, like the dynamic had shifted. The big bully wasn't being quite the bully that he used to be, but also, you know, not really quite as big as he used to be. And not everybody's out to follow him as quick anymore. But anyway, we're going to go to a break, then we're going to come back. And if you want to get in on the program, Foxed Up on Skype, sorry. One day the phones will work consistently. So to bring us out with this one, we're going to do another track off of Black Gives Way to Blue, the new Alice in Chains. And, oh, A Looking in View. This is the first single that they released. First thing given to radio. This is one filthy riff. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Hour two, getting all foxed up. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network as we get into Hour 2. And seven, you know, you sit there and you got to watch all the gear do its thing, and I started seeing the streamer starting to back up a bit, but it seems to be playing ball now, so hopefully it'll stay playing nice. Damn you, you bastard. Ah! I want my phones back. I want my phones back. Anyway, quit bitching, John. Get on with the show. Oh, but, you know, it's all kinds of shit going on. So, you know, big announcement, you know, during the G20, Obama gets out there and it's like, oh, you know, Iran's got this thing. We've been watching it for years. We've known about it for years. But now we're going to tell them, you know, bad boys, bad boys. Now, I got to say, you know, the radar starts to go whenever there's claims against Iran. Just because, I mean, there's no one knows what to think out there. And, okay, so we supposedly known about this facility for a long time. Now, never really heard it mentioned before, but it's okay, you know, keeping an eye on it, you know, no, it's not make a big deal if there's nothing to make a big deal about. But, you know, you've already got Dinner Jacket, you know, already kind of fired up because, you know, he got to go and speak in front of the UN and spew his normal kind of garbage. So, you know, straight after we announced this whole, you know, we've been watching this site for a long time, Iran, bad kitties. So then Iran turns around and runs a missile test. I gotta say, you know, it's like, how much of this is just like theater being played out? Should I even pay attention to this? You know, is this just another, you know, thing to distract from something else? You know, the public's starting to pay attention to Afghanistan, so let's start making Iran noise? Or is this, you know, kind of real? Because, I mean, you know, just because I have my doubts about the U.S.'s motives sometimes when it comes to Iran, don't think for a second I believe I take, you know, Dinner Jacket at his word. Because, I mean, we saw from the Iranian elections that, you know, Ahmadinejad isn't exactly, you know, heralded by the whole population. So, you know, I'm finding the same confused lack of comfort sensation that I am with the situation in Honduras right now. It's a similar story, but it's not quite, the dynamic's a bit different than it used to be. You know, the thing in Honduras, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama all came out and said, no, we're not supporting this, this ain't right. They've got an elected president, but yet seems to be like a real pro-business faction in Honduras that's very pro-America is behind it. So, you know, it's a similar story, but the dynamic has changed. Usually in Central America, you know, we get up and just, you know, anytime we can get some sort of pro-business, pro-U.S. puppet in, you know, we jump up and down and yell Yahoo! So I'm having this similar, I'm not sure what to make of this situation this time around. Because this time, you know, it's coming out of Obama. So, you know, and at least in this situation, you know, with Obama, you know, this is mentioned, and they still talk about having talks, as opposed to just, you know, saying, oh, you've done bad, so it's all going to be sanctions and military option and things that will most guaranteed lead to death for someone. No one dies when you talk. That's why when I hear people say that, you know, oh, we shouldn't talk to so-and-so or we shouldn't have talks with so-and-so, it's just like, well, what's the harm? No one dies because of a talk. You can do more than one thing at once. But, yeah, I'm really... But, you know, like, so the way this whole thing plays out, you know, Obama comes out and, you know, gets all of the Security Council behind him, which is unique. So maybe there is something more to this. Maybe they weren't just, you know, cartoon drawings of representations of things that they wish were there. And like I said, Ahmadinejad, you know, follows up with something that's very normal for him, which is just to be knee-jerk reactionary And you know, I mean, he was caught a bit off guard. You know, he thought he had had his big speech and everything, and you know, got to do his whole Holocaust denier routine. And so he says Obama's announcement will be, you know, bad for the West. Okay. Not quite sure how that figures, but... I don't know what to make of it. But I wonder if this plays at all with into or not with the fact that the United States is, as in the American population, is growing more and more uncomfortable with the Afghan war. So, you know, which I think is a good thing. Because we went in there with no real plan. You know, supposedly the good war. But, I mean, we've seemingly just been in there just, like, fighting with no real mission. And so, you know, the commander on the ground is saying, you know, he needs a bunch more troops. But to what end? And I think that we might actually start having some discussions that we should be having. You know, we're 8-9 years into this mess. We're gonna... Tim says, so Iran was responsible for 9/11. Yeah, if we were in Bush term 3, that's what they'd be trying to convince us of. But, you know, we've been, at least in Iraq, they're able to tone down the noise, and because, you know, there's a plan in place for us to eventually get out. But Afghanistan's a completely different situation. I mean, the Russians got held up there for a decade. We're just about there. And to what end? I mean, if this whole thing was supposed to be going and getting Osama bin Laden, why the fuck have we not gotten him yet? And another question that I've got, anyone else notice this? Anyone else notice this? I was talking to Gail about this the other day. Think back a few years, you know, maybe 3-4 years ago. There was a whole lot of websites and pages and posts and whatnot dedicated to showing the different images of Osama bin Laden over the years. And that after a certain point, suddenly he looked a whole lot different. Right? Remember that? Remember that? And did you happen to notice that after those became fairly viral, we have only had audio tapes from Osama bin Laden? I mean, this is just the question that I keep wanting to ask. Because a whole lot of the world would make a lot more sense to me if we actually were to find out that Osama bin Laden's dead, and he's been dead for a long time. Because if the guy is as arrogant and well off and all that as he is purported to be, I think his ego would want his face on camera. So is he dead? And if he is dead, then why are we still in Afghanistan? I just started to notice that little coincidence, though. when people were asking questions about whether the person reported to be Osama and all, you know, all these different images was all the same guy. Sometime after that, we stopped getting video messages from Mr. Bin Laden. But I think, you know, we're in such a situation of we went in there for the reason of going and supposedly getting the people that attacked us on 9/11. I'm not really sure whether we've okay. Tim saying, you know, talking about these pictures, you know, it's but you know, anyone who mentions this, they're all 9/11 truthers, kooks, commies, and fascists. Well, you know, I know that that's how it'd be played, but I mean, even just what if Al Qaeda itself is covering for the fact that he's dead? And if I were trying to fool anyone, if like on the U.S. side, I mean, that's how I'd play it. But I mean, you know, why are we there? What's the point? What are we trying to achieve now? I mean, after all this time, we can't capture a 7-foot-tall guy hooked up to a bloody dialysis machine. And our installed guy, Ahmed Karzai, seems to be ripping off, you know, are we there just to keep our puppet in power? Is that what this is about? Former Chevron executive himself. I mean, you know, there was a time when I could at least understand the perceived justification. I don't see any anymore. I don't see that you can even construct one. Why are we there? As Freckles says, we're there for the fuel pipeline. Okay. I can buy that. See, I can buy that. This is why I think I'm becoming, you know, I think this is why I'm pleased that there's more and more reporting. Yeah, control the opium field. Yeah. Thanks very much, George W. Bush. Thanks for all the cheap smack everywhere. See, I know all the real reasons why we're there. Pipelines, you know. Maintaining installed governments, resources, all that shit. But I don't even hear in the discussions of what we're doing or what we're thinking about doing or why we're doing what we're doing, anything that's even justification for bullshit. It's just, we're there now. It's, you know, it's this never-ending war thing. Like, we've always been there. You know, but why we go there in the first place? Oh, don't worry about that. We're there now. And see, that's what it feels like. Oh, we're there now. All the reasoning and, like, maybe mission. You know, do we have a mission? We were told we had one. And we were told this was supposed to go and get some people. I don't think we've really gotten much of anybody. And all we've done is spent shitloads of money. You know, don't even have figures in front of me, but I guarantee you we could have paid for single-payer health care and food for every American with what we've thrown down that gurgler. And Ralph's, you know, I've brought this up before, Ralph's many times. Taliban basically shut down the opium fields before we went in. Opium, you know, smack was really expensive and really bad quality, and now it's like bullshit pure and bullshit cheap. You know, are we making money off the drug trade? Because it wouldn't be the first time we've done that shit either. You know, is this the whole Iran-Contra game all over again? You know, and Freckle says, you know, to help make me feel old, like I need to feel any older. Freckle says, you know, being in Afghanistan almost half of her life. That's madness. Girl's about to head off to college. And so, you know, kind of all over the place today, but, you know, we were working on phones till the beginning of the show. Because we really thought we almost had them. But if the American people are finally kind of coming out against being in Afghanistan, does that stand any chance in hell of actually being turned into any action by the federal government? It seems like we can't get health care happening, which should be a no-brainer because most of the population wants it. Why? I really want to know. I want someone from the administration to come out and tell me now, not what it was in the past, not what it's going to be tomorrow, but why are we there now? What are we doing? We're sure as hell ain't nation building because we need to have five times the troops that we've got in there to go and actually maybe fix some of the problems that the country has. Tim saying, maybe Bush Senior's New World Order, they'll kill off the poor and enslave the rest. We keep up like we're going, you kill off the poor, there won't be anything, will be no rest. I just really like to know why we're there, and while we're thinking about why we're there, is it a task worthy of the energy? Is it even something that we can do? I mean, if we really wanted to actually get Afghanistan, you know, fixed up as we'd like to think, I don't think we even have the capability to do it. We don't even have enough troops to make that kind of a presence. And is it our place anyway? And this is a place that's been, you know, at war kind of pretty much consistently for as long as I can remember. Filled with people that are used to being occupied and used to resisting it. I just don't see how it's possible. But yeah, we just continue to throw money down the gurgler. I don't get it. But anyway, we're going to take a little break. Still not quite over this bloody flu thing or whatever the hell it is. Because as you can hear, you know, I'm taking it easy and everything. I'm not being crazy. I'm trying to take it easy. And even, you know, an hour and a half in the show, I can feel the voice starting to get a bit lower, a bit throatier. But hey, it is what it is. But we got to do this because we do it every show. Michael Ferranti and Stay Human. You know, play this in the background while you're trying to explain to me why the hell we're in Afghanistan there, administration somebody, and what it is we're trying to do, because at the moment, I have no idea. You listen to Fucked Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
Starvation is a creation of the devil, a rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow. Bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle. To be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert. Dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd. Scratch my itch like a needle on the record. Full of life like a man going to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring. I speak low but I'm like a lion roaring. Baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning. Morning. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bop. Can I hear it once again? Boom bop. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Be resistant the negativity, we keep it at a distance. Go for backup and I'll give you some assistance. Like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion. Rock and roll upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and you're underwater breathing. To be rhyming without a real reason is to claim but not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception. Beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system. To legalize you or give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Aha. We saw the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why 2K and 2 is a moment. In time we find that we can open up a heart that's locked or been broken by the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns or still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by banging Testarossa. We need to heed the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas. Steam your body in the stereo sauna, sauna, sauna. Because the streets are alive
with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. It's about 37 minutes past the hour. That would be the hour of 12 noon here in Australia on a Monday. This is after 10 there in the East Coast in the United States. After 7 there, Tim. So, you know, with all this just kind of weird, crazy crap with Iran going on at the moment, you know, just, I keep sitting there, you know, again, thinking how, you know, kind of towards the end of the 90s, you know, started to feel that specter of nukes kind of beginning to wane. How we seem to have lost that, and this song came to mind. bit of crack the sky, nuclear apathy. Maybe this is what I'm suffering at the moment. Some great players in this band. 1978, off the album Safety in Numbers. You know, sometimes I really hate Windows Media Player. You go and try and key something up, and what does it do? It goes and plays it!
We don't need no education.
There's a reason for playing this. From the delicate sounds of thunder.
No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
And if I'm not mistaken, we should have Cassie on the line. Not you, Cass?
Oh, hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. So you did. I started playing some Pink Floyd there in lieu of what you rang up to talk about. You just wrote a piece about some a bit of depression and whatnot happening with high school kids at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to hear you.
Okay, I'll try and fix that.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Oh, that's better.
Okay, I'll try and sort it out a bit.
So, what I wanted to talk to you about, you know that you mentioned actually before that in the middle of applying for colleges. Actually, I'm not applying yet. I'm sort of like pre-applying. But anyway, I'm finding out about colleges. And I've been really surprised by how many of my friends are not trying for four-year colleges or even for two-year colleges because their families don't have any money anymore. Well, like people who started out middle class and started out with their families, having college funds and having money, you know, putting money aside so that they could go to college. And a lot of them, there's no money because they needed the families. Like their parents took the money out of their college account so that they could keep their house or they could pay for medical bills.
Well, with what's going on economically at the moment, I mean, I'm not entirely surprised, but
it's not a surprise so much as it's how many there are.
This is just another one of these many things that makes me very concerned about kind of the near future of the United States. I really wonder, are they, and can you hear me a little bit better now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can leave that there. Okay. There's in many different parts of society over there, you have this growing feeling of hopelessness. You know that,
yeah.
And I think that this is just one of many forms. And if your next generation is feeling this hopeless, you know, because you're saying that they're not applying for
financial aid or applying for college or like even really trying in high school anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this actually, you know, this is impacting their desire to even get through high school and achieve good marks there? It's just kind of like what's the point?
Yeah. Like either what's the point? Like why should I? You know, I'm not even going to go to college, which it doesn't make any sense because even if you don't have the money to go to college now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have the money to go back or that you're going to want to go later and be able to afford it later and need the grades from now.
Well, I you know, it's not just that it's about losing the drive for the schoolwork. I also just am thinking,
losing
their drive.
People lose for a lot of stuff.
It's their drive for life, really. And
are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
A little.
Okay. Well, this is being very weird. Nothing should be changing. Everything's always weird. Okay. Where was I going? Oh, but I mean, that like, if this is what's happening to kids 16, 17, 18 years old when they're just wanting to begin their lives, if things don't change kind of soon, how is this going to impact on them as adults? And for many of your peers, see, you know, you've excelled, above, you know, average, you know, compared to your peers. And so, and you found ways, you're finding ways to make things happen for you. But not everyone I guess you might consider yourself a little bit lucky that some of these options are open to you, even though you're getting them by your own diligence and your own hard work.
Well, I'm very lucky that they're open to me. I mean, I know that, and I'm very lucky. I mean, I know how lucky I am. And it's not just my own diligence. It's a lot of stuff.
So, but I mean, I could see this ending up, unfortunately, leading to a future of, you know, things like, aside chronic unemployment, but drug and alcohol abuse.
That's already starting.
Now, you've written about this, but has anyone else written about this, or are you seeing...
It's not in the blogs. It's not... I haven't heard anybody on radio talk about it. I haven't heard... I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff about how families are suffering from lack of health care or from bills or from mortgages or from homelessness. And I've seen stuff about how there's more kids on free lunch and there's more kids who are going to school homeless and there's like all of this stuff. But I haven't seen anything about high school kids and prospective college kids.
Right. Well, and I wasn't necessarily saying just in the media, but like even within the school system, is this being noticed? Is there any action at all being taken to even give these kids some counseling to deal with the depression? Because, I mean, you're actually dealing with a core issue here, which is depression.
Well, I don't think that there is a lot. I think there's actually been two kids in our school system, two high school kids, and it's not that big a system. It's like, I think, 9 high schools. There have been two kids this year already. And the years, we haven't finished the first 6 weeks. There have been two kids who killed themselves.
Sheesh.
Yeah. So it's like they're looking at, I mean, I think they're definitely looking at that. And there's, you know, been stuff like on our announcements. And if you know that, and there's always stuff like if you know that a friend is considering suicide, talk to the counselor or talk to the teacher. And like there's all kinds of stuff like that. And I think that I know a whole lot of kids who take antidepressants, but that can cause suicide.
Well, I think they're way over prescribed. Kids are give. It's easier to give a pill than actually deal with whatever the actual cause of the depression is. And I mean, here you can find a direct cause is, you know, just feeling like you have no future, and feeling helpless. And there have got to be non-pill-based ways to try and improve those things. I think this, you know.
Did you read that a third, I think it was a third of people under 35 who have jobs are living with their parents? I saw that, I'm trying to think if that was the statistic. It was a third of people, and it was like either under 30 or under 35.
Well,
it was outrageous.
I know that's growing. I mean, there's a mix of situations where, you know, where you have kind of crossover people of, I guess, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, where, you know, the market started to change and some families, you know, didn't necessarily see the need to force the kids out. Like, you know, in my house, you know, if my family hadn't moved to Texas, you know, it still would have been out, you know, up, you're 18, off you go. You know, we've done our bit. You know, go make it on your own. You know, some families changed heart that way. Mom and dad income's not what it used to be, so having the kids staying at home and paying less rent at home and everybody benefits, you know, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of reasons why that's happened, and they're all...
But they're all economic.
Yeah, they're all economic.
I mean, it's not because people love their parents more.
Oh.
it's not.
I didn't think that was the case. But, you know, and those situations aren't necessarily bad situations, but they're not by choice. And, I mean, you're seeing a lot of that here in Australia, and you're seeing situations where I do know where it's not just a situation where, you know, the kids are just like, you know, oh, well, you know, I'll just stay home with mom and dad, but it's just, you know, I can't at, you know, entry-level pay afford what it takes to actually live by yourself. That's a huge problem in Sydney.
Right, and a lot of the people who are even past college and who have a college degree, they're not earning much more than the people who just graduated high school. Or if they are, they're paying it all in college loans.
Well, when you ship enough jobs overseas, reclassify enough jobs that they qualify for something just barely over minimum wage, you know...
And then you spend all of your money on either your college loans or your health insurance.
That
you don't have any money left for your rent.
Hey, there's something that quietly is happening that has not been getting much airplay, but it looks like the Obama administration is really making great grounds with this debt-free college bill, where I think what they're basically planning on doing is... you know, aside from the AmeriCorps kind of thing where you can volunteer to pay for your college education, they're also, I think, if I read the signs of this right, going to take back control of the student loan system. Because they're all privatized now, so they're all for profit. And
they're like 20%.
Right.
I mean, they're ridiculous.
And I think what they're really working on and might actually really happen, and maybe it's quiet, maybe that's the reason why they're being quiet about it, is they just want to do it. And, it, you know, if they were to actually then make that student loans were a government-secured loan at no interest, that would make a great deal of difference for students.
I just lost you. Are you there?
Yeah.
There you are.
How weird. I don't know if you caught what I said though, but it looks like they're going to try and make it
yeah.
so that they're interest-free loans, and I think that would make all the difference in the world for college students. You know, to be able to get you know, you pay whatever your education costs, that's what it costs. Not, you know, constantly having your education be a burden on you as far as being something that's accruing interest every month.
Right. Right. And then the other thing, do you know that it used to be that when you went to college, if you were full-time, they, like, had to give you health care?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know it's not like that anymore?
No.
Some colleges give healthcare and some colleges don't. So, like, for somebody like me, where I'm gonna lose my healthcare, the day that I graduate high school, maybe like the end of the month, so the end of June, I'll lose my healthcare. I have to go to a college where I can get healthcare. Because I don't have parents who can, you know, have me on healthcare. That's not something I have. I'm on Medicaid right now. So it turns out that some of the colleges I'm looking at don't cover students at all, or they only cover students when the semester is in semester and during exams, but they don't cover you in the summer or during vacation. So, like, what if you get sick at Christmas?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can kind of see Well, I can see the logic that's used to justify those kind of parameters. It's just another reason for there to be, you know, a universal system and a public option, because you know, a public option would then be available to students. You know, and on that whole thing, why I wish it would be brought up more in the conversation, you know, in a system like Australia's where everybody chips in, and you can still have private health insurance. If you want to pay extra for a private insurer so you get extra benefits, go for it. You're allowed to, but everyone pays a percentage of their salary, you know, when you do your income tax for health care, and if it goes above a certain amount, it, you know, it caps off. It doesn't get any higher, and it's like 2% of your salary, and it's part of your taxes. Who would complain about 2% if it paid for most general health care?
All the people who hate the word government.
But once you tell them, okay, 2% a year, so you make, you know, 60 grand, you've paid $1,200. Compare that to what you're paying now if you have insurance. I guarantee you it would be a fraction of it.
And is that for your whole family? Or that's just
no, that's
for you?
That's for each person. And like, if you have dependents, they're included in on that.
Okay.
And then when you become a paying member of society, you then put in. And if you don't make enough, if you don't make a certain amount, you don't pay anything. The whole Medicare, what they call the Medicare levy, is just waived, you know, and they just say, you know, don't worry about it. And, you know, and it goes
but
from...
But they don't make you drive, like, 80 miles to see a doctor.
No, you're still part of the system. You just don't have to pay in because you just didn't make enough. So, you know, someone who makes, you know, 40 grand a year might pay $800 when they do their income tax. This is the thing. It's when you do your income tax. You know, it's not, you don't even feel it as though you've just forked 800 bucks out of your wallet or out of your bank account. When you go and do your taxes, it's calculated out as part of your tax. So, you know, I mean, for all the detail that's not been out there and the detail that's been out there, I think sometimes the most important details or examples of how other systems work never is portrayed. You know, and then if someone wants to pay another 50 to 100 bucks a month for some private plan that gives them extra benefit and gets their acupuncture covered or, you know, whatever, and they want to get some free sneakers when they sign up, then...
Are you leaning away from the microphone because I lost you again?
No, I'm not doing anything. It just keeps shifting and being different, huh?
Yeah, maybe is it my headphones?
I don't know, because you're...
You should have another call.
You're pretty consistent, but, you've been pretty consistent to me. A little noisy, but it's okay. I hope that the schools look at this, you know, depression and kind of giving up on, you know, why should I try if I have no chance to get into college situation? Because I think that this could be early signs of something that could be a real, not that it's not a real problem now, but it could lead to serious other problems down the road, I would think. I think you could end up with having like a whole bunch of people of a generation just in really bad shape if just when you're out to launch your life you feel like, what's the point? Which is seems to be what you're trying to convey to me.
I think that is part of the problem, but also, like, even if counselors or, like, we have a college and career counselor at school where there's one for our whole graduating class, and then there are a couple of guidance counselors as well, and teachers. So, like, if any of them are talking about, they're trying to encourage everybody to go to college. So everybody has to go to at least, you know, community college. I mean, and they're,
right.
And what they say, they want absolutely everyone to go. So since probably a third or half of us aren't going to go to anything, then they think that everything that the teachers are saying about how important college is awful.
Yeah, yeah, it's really important.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 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 everyone should do this, but no one's going to help you do it.
Yes.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. You know, it's holding you up and then chopping you off at the knees. And I think that's why I see this having some really, really shitty possibilities in the future for, you know, some really, really disaffected young adults. And that's really too bad, considering that I kind of think that this is a generation that, given the tools, could actually do some really, really great things. Because I think they're very, you know, very aware of the media filter around them, because they've grown up in, you know, you guys have grown up in such this massively media-rich environment that I think maybe you're pretty clued up on the way you're played by marketing and whatnot, and I'm kind of looking to your generation to do some really, really great things when you get into positions of power, and I think it's just where the time in history that you've grown up, you've grown up as it all began to change. Kind of how I was born, you know, at the end of the last great wave of change.
Wow, this is going to be a change for the better.
Well, yeah, I hope so.
It has to be.
And got to find a way to get more of these kids.
After Bush, it can't get worse.
So check into what the administration's up to on this student loan stuff. I think you might find some really positive news there. Trying to remember who it was. It was actually someone from the administration that was on the Daily
MSNBC
Show.
MSNBC just did. Well, somebody in the chat room, and I forget who it was, somebody just put a link to an MSNBC thing from last week about
right.
Obama touting efforts to help the economy and colleges.
Right. Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. And like I said, I believe there was someone on the Daily Show, and it was someone from the administration in the last couple of weeks. And he wasn't on about this, but he mentioned it, kind of knowing that, you know, the there's probably a fair few college students in the Daily Show audience saying, like, you know, you might not have heard about this, but they're really making great, you know, inroads into making fundamental change on the whole concept of student loans. And I think that would be a great first step.
Yeah. So can I ask you a question, though, about the whole media thing?
Sure.
Okay. So there's two things that are going on, and I don't get how they connect. So one of them is that the quote liberal quote media is doing all of this stuff against healthcare reform. And they're just like completely putting all of the stuff about the teabaggers and stuff, but not anything about what healthcare would actually be. So that's one thing. Then the other thing is they're all working for companies that are probably paying double and triple what they used to pay to cover their employees for healthcare. So
yeah.
Why are those companies not being more open to saying the truth about what healthcare reform would be?
Well, I think there's so much disinformation out there that I think it's hard to get some reality out of all kind of the bullshit that's going on. And, you know, you look at actually the big automakers, and many times over the last few years they've decided to put the new factory in Canada or Mexico or something because of the healthcare cost alone. Right.
Well, that's why I was thinking, why are the networks not and the newspapers not on the same page as the auto companies?
Both get huge amount of money, huge amounts of money from insurance companies and from pharmaceutical companies in advertising revenue.
All of the medication and pharmacy ads.
Yeah. And the insurance companies advertise big time. On the networks, I would think that would have to have some impact on it. And I also think the fact that, you know, aside from a handful of people, we don't actually have really very intelligent people, running the mainstream media. And when it's, you know, it bleeds, it leads, or if it's, you know, if it's outrageous, it gets the most coverage, we end up not actually having the real information get disseminated down to the population, you know, and there's only a few people that do it, and even they are not even truly news people, you know, like Rachel Maddow. I mean, she does.
I like her a lot.
Oh, yeah, because she tries to give you as much information as she can, and you know, actually reports on things. Doesn't just, it's not, her bias is hers, but the facts aren't biased, you know, and that's missing in a lot of places. And I think the administration handled this thing wrong from the get-go. I think that they should have, even though Congress is who is supposed to write legislation. I mean, that's actually how the Constitution lays it out. But uh-huh. I think Obama and the administration should have written out a prospective bill that said, you know, and these major things must be included or covered in one, you know, or dealt with in one way or another.
Instead of Obama sitting down and writing it, or even someone who's more on the liberal side or even more like in tune with Americans, they had Rahm Emanuel sit down with Harry Reid for like 8 billion hours.
Yeah, instead of having, say, Howard Dean, a politician and a doctor, write.
They didn't let any, not even one person who was in favor of single payer. Not one was allowed to go into their meetings.
I know.
And then when people protested, they let them in, but they wouldn't let them talk.
And again, you know, no matter what it is, something always ends up causing the American nation to not have the conversations it needs to be actually having, and end up having conversations where they think they've had the conversations they should have had, and actually not getting anywhere. And so, you know, the whole health care bill thing has been a disaster from the get-go. And, you know, we may actually get somewhere in the end, because it is interesting. It does appear that the bill and the way the amendments are kind of being accepted, it's getting kind of more progressive all the time as we've finally gotten to the sausage machine. But, you know, we'll see how that pans out. I just really think that there should have been something for Congress to go by instead of it just being a free-for-all trying to come up with consensus from everybody on every little thing and just say, look, the insurance companies are just middlemen in paying the bill. They really don't need to exist. We're not going to make them illegal, but we're going to give people a public option that saves 30% because they're not having to pay shareholders, they're not having to make T-shirts, and they're not having to advertise. We just pay the bill.
They make T-shirts?
Oh, well, you know, every major corporation has their swag of stuff, you know, that they give away, you know, whether it's coffee mugs or pens or, you know.
Yeah.
They'll have all that stuff, and all that stuff costs money. So where does that stuff get paid from? From the premiums people pay. Where else? You know, we're not banks. We're not able to just, you know, like, make money out of nothing. They're insurance companies. They have to just take it from people and then spend it as they please. So, you know, I just really think it's been handled so badly. And the media does not help at all by allowing the Tea Party idiots to get much more airtime than they deserve. You know, it's this 30% gets 70% of the airtime. You know, and it's this constant artificial bias as well. This is one of the things that I am really tired of. Some things don't have two sides to the story. You know, when it comes to things like healthcare, there really aren't two sides to the story. It's broken. The for-profit model, when it comes to just paying the doctors, is a waste of time and money. An alternative needs to be set up. End of story.
In Texas, we're just skipping the truth side of things and going straight to the right-wing propaganda.
Oh, well, I mean, I've seen the whole thing about the textbooks in schools over there. I mean, that stuff's just insane, you know. And, like, you're not even going to mention Che Guevara. George Washington isn't considered important enough?
Not anymore.
I mean, really?
Not anymore. Really? Right-winger. We don't talk about people if they're not right-wingers.
Holy crap! I mean, he was
except an AP. AP, we get to do the national stuff.
I mean, you'd think that they'd love to have George for the bullshit story about, you know, the lie about cutting down the cherry tree. You know, I would think that they'd at least want to have him around to be able to use a lie of a story as a way to tell children not to lie. But that's something completely different. But that kind of crap really freaks me out. And it's purely because, right, it's California and Texas that get to kind of like run the show for the states because they buy more textbooks than anybody.
Well, it's because our state, the state buys the books and not the district or the school. So they buy millions at the same time. So we actually, like, negotiate a price. Like, the government, the state, the federal government's not going to be allowed to do it.
That's crazy. That's just crazy. Wasn't there something else about that they actually wanted to say that the country's founded on Republican values or something?
I didn't see that one.
There was something to that effect that I probably am not...
Oh, they're taking out the word democratic. They're taking out the word... I don't know that they're adding the word Republican. They're just taking out the democratic.
And Tim wants me to ask you if in Texas, if they teach in civics about the union movements for child labor laws or even the wobblies.
No. First of all, we don't have civics. We have a government class, and I don't have to take it because I did the summer school constitution thing, right. And I got my high school credit from that, so right. I don't have to take the government class here. But no, they don't teach anything like that.
There ain't never been no union in Texas.
We don't have unions.
Oh, I know. And, you know, when
it's a right to get fired, you see.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it was really funny when I was living down there in San Antonio, and the biggest crewing outfit that I did work for, even though that they were a non-union crewing company, they still paid everybody and did breaks and everything by the union guidelines because they knew that that's what actually the workers expected. And I thought it was interesting that in this one little industry, this little kind of bastion of unionism and the right to actually, you know, have food supplied if it was more than 15 minutes a walk away from where you were working, you know, kind of thing. And I think still continues to this day because there's still, like, individual buildings that can be union buildings. It's really, really confused down there when it comes to that. One venue will be a union venue, one venue will not be a union venue. and you got to know which is which before you want to go and put the show in there.
Oh.
It's a mess. But anyway, I'm going to try and get another call in here, darling. But
okay.
Keep us posted on the stuff with the depression and these kids and maybe you know, some opportunities will arise when the administration gets this legislation through.
Yeah.
All right, kid.
I'm going to college.
Oh, I know
that's not even an issue. I'm
Yeah. But I mean, there's the rest of your peers to be concerned about.
But I didn't want you to think that I was gonna in any way.
No. This extended family you've got at the Horn. Do you think you'd even stand a chance of backing out of college now?
Never.
Right on.
Bob Kincaid is buying me gloves when I go somewhere cold.
There you go. And he'd know how to buy gloves too. I guarantee. All right,
yeah.
Kid. Always good to talk to you, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye bye. And that was our good friend Cassie. Where is that? There it is. I'm going to get rid of that. And we're going to take a break, and I want to see if I can take another phone call here. David was trying to ring while we were talking to Cass, so we'll try and fix that. And I'm just trying to get some music to take a break to. And, oh... No. Totally unprepared here. Oh, this one's for the teabaggers and the rest of them. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hey, stupid!
Hey, David, how you going? Welcome to the show. Oh, Dave. Oh, that might help if I turned you up. How you going, mate?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
Not, yeah, it helps when I turn the channel on. What's up,
man? Yeah, lots of news this week. Lots of news.
Okay, what you got?
Well, first things first, for those conspiracy-minded people or grand scheme-minded people, you got a win in your column. Apparently the lawyer got the tapes back from the Oklahoma bombings, and they've been edited. All of them.
They've been edited?
Yes. For the footage for the cameras? There's a gap in the tapes.
Why, David, why do they end up making it worse by doing it this way? Because, you know, if they just didn't release them at all, it would cause less problems than releasing edited tapes. So we've got gaps in the tape now that allowed the conspiracy theorists to go off and say, yeah, but in the gap, that's when the federal government came in and planted the explosives or something?
Well, they want to keep us paranoid and stupid, just like the song by Alice Cooper. What else that's completely frightening that will scare the shit out of you? Oh, the United States DARPA has perfected and pioneered remote control aerial insects. That was announced this week.
Yeah.
I saw some of the demonstration, and holy shit. They had a beetle they implanted in a beetle's eyes two optical electrodes. I'm not shitting you.
Holy
and
crap.
Then what they do is, to make the beetle fly in different directions, they shock the muscles so it spasms in different directions so they can make it go left or right.
Yikes.
I don't know how I feel about that, but part of me is saying that should not be allowed.
Well, and another thing that shouldn't be allowed, I don't know if you noticed at the G20 protests, they were actually using one of them bloody insane sonic cannons against the protesters, which is just indiscriminate. And not only that, a bloody protester was, like, bagged and hauled off in front of cameras. I don't know if you've caught that one. That one's really creepy.
I saw that one, and at first it looked like it was staged. That's how bad it looked. And I watched a lot of different G20 videos. And I was like, wow, they use this voice to get the protesters. It sounded like Michael Black from The Stake. By order of police, the guy who does the Pets.com voice, or it was an eye opener watching it. There's a 10-minute video, I don't know if you caught this one. There's a 10-minute video of the We Are Change, the offshoot of the Alex Jones 9/11 truth, but they decided to go down there and they realized that probably the best time not to talk about 9/11. So they decided to confront the police, and they had a lot of good points about their rights. And I found it pretty interesting how the police would they would beat their shields with a stick. And in time to try to silence the protesters. And one of the people, Luke, I guess, of We Are Change, kept shouting into a megaphone about the rights of this country. And it was really interesting to watch.
Because, I mean, that's really not the... I mean, that's as though the police are actively trying to shut down the message of the people when you tell me that they're doing that.
And I don't know. To me, the whole thing about the G20, which is really startling, was the fact of these people were literally doing nothing, and they were throwing. Did you see the videos with the aerosol grenade cans?
Yeah. I mean, there really was nothing going on.
No, there was nothing going on, and also it seemed to me that. They really did try their hardest to start something. Now here's the parallel and the parallel that we all should be paying attention to. Would the police be even be there if there was a teabagger protest?
Oh, probably not in those numbers, and probably not all done up with riot gear.
No, and that makes you wonder. And we've just have news today of I don't know if you caught the headline on this. Apparently, the leak is that the general is going to ask for 40,000 troops. I'm betting that Obama is going to take that, and he's going to put those 40,000 troops into Afghanistan. What do you think?
Oh, I think he is probably going to do something like that. I do think that we are in a moment where the whole Afghanistan thing, I think, is coming back up for discussion.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of like, you know, what the fuck is the point of this? Because this is kind of what I was blathering about earlier is, you know, you listen to reports on what's going on in Afghanistan and kind of what it is that we're trying to do, and you actually never get anything of what the actual mission is. And it's become one of these things that we've always been there, so how do we maintain being there? As opposed to what the fuck's the point? And that's the question I keep wanting to ask. At this stage, what is the point of being there?
Well, you know, John, I listened to what Cassie was saying about her school and facing depression. I mean, if you really look at it, I don't care what anyone says. You can be a flag waver or an American supporter. You are living right now in a rogue nation. Especially with the reports that Jeremy Scahill has just issued about the all of the defense contractors who do not follow the laws and accordance agreements that we have in different foreign countries. We're living in a rogue nation, people, and you need to realize that whether it's Democrat or Republican, if they don't face up to this, we have a real problem on our hand, and it's not going to matter what job you have because you're going to be living in an illegal country, basically.
A legal rogue nation, but you know who's going to be the cops to dob us? You know who they're going to dob us to? You know who they're going to dob us into? That I think that's the unique situation here is that no one's going to actually stop the U.S. from doing what it's doing. The U.S. can only stop itself at this stage.
That's the vicious cycle that we're in. And in news, I don't know if you caught this, and I'm sure if Cassie hasn't caught it, it's kind of school related, and I found it pretty shocking. Chicago News, they're showing a video footage of a kid getting beaten to death by students with bats. And he actually dies on the tape. I didn't watch the video, but when I heard that, I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean,
the school is showing this?
No. The news.
Oh.
The news. The local news. They're showing footage of that.
Didn't we used to have laws about like broadcasting footage of minors?
I don't know, but the video is really stunning. I hear the fact of it. It makes it even more tragic to show you an example of how messed up our country is. The kid who gets beaten to death is an honor student, and it takes place in the Chicago Academy, and these kids just literally gang up on him and just hit him with bat after bat after bat. And you know, the funny thing is guess who tries to come to the rescue of getting hit by these bats is the girls. And that's so typical, John. A lot of people just standing around being like, whoa. Someone's getting beaten with bats.
And now, are there any reports of why they were beating him?
I don't know the specifics on it, but my guess is the fact that, you know, it has to do with that. It wasn't a black community, and they're gonna play that up big time. And the black students were beating up another black student. That's gonna be played up big time too. And I think part of it has to do with the fact of how we treat intellectuals in this country. We treat them with a degree of scorn that we just haven't seen on this level. Like, you are this intelligent, and we're going to beat you down right here in front of everyone.
Well, it's
and
the,
we don't care if we murder you.
It's the anti-intellectualism that is a bit of a disease in the country. You know, it has become a country of striving for mediocrity. I mean, you just have to look at music. And,
well,
you know, I mean, I don't know, where were you going to go?
I was saying we're more interested in stories to that effect. For example, we have Roman Polanski on the headlines, and we want to bring it back to California instead of care about war criminals. Let's care about an alleged rape, an alleged sex molestation case from 30 years ago. I don't know. To me, our priorities are really mixed up and messed up. And like I said, we live in a rogue nation. I think it's pretty much confirmed it. I think Obama's going to continue the rogueness. I see that he's going to continue the same Bush administration policies of Gitmo, hold people indefinitely. I think it's time for people to wake up and realize we don't have any political parties with any backbone. And then that brings us to an interesting question. What is it you do? What is it you do when you are faced with this situation? What is it you do when the media has turned your back on you? What do you do when everyone is basically turning your back on? All we can do is just keep talking and keep bringing up questions. But, you know, it comes back to this, is that, let's face it, people. I know what people are saying. They say, oh, the Democrats, they're going to turn around. No, they're not going to turn around, because all we have to do is look and see what's happening with the defense contractors. There's your answer for the next 4 years.
Yep.
This is what they decided. They decided to be war criminals. And as soon as Obama puts some more troops in Afghanistan, he's going to be a war criminal too. So how do you like those apples, people?
I just sent a blog post on the beating you were talking about. CPS high schoolers beaten to death with a baseball bat, making him the 23rd student killed in this 2007-2008 academic. Oh, no, this is older. This one. Pardon me, I jumped the shark a little bit there. I thought this was our story. But, I mean, still, you know, you're seeing here in 1 year, even here the year before, 2007,
right.
2008, 23 students killed, you know, and obviously this is like, you know, within kind of school beatings. And I even remember when I was a kid, you know, this anti-intellectualism is not new, and it kind of, you know, it has its moments where it's more widespread and a bit more aggressive than others. And, you know, I remember growing up, you know, the most non-threatening, and it's a weird thing, the most non-threatening, mousy, geeky kids could be the ones that would get the most beat on. And they're absolutely no threat. So this anti-intellectualism, where does that come from? Is that out of the fact that it's being shown, someone's being shown that they're mediocre because someone else is not mediocre and that's a threat to them? Or is this mom and dad all sitting there going, yeah, I'm smart people, they cause nothing but trouble? It was a smart person who got me fired from my job because they told me that, you know, I had to wash my hands before making more burgers.
I think this country has taught people that they can only be of a certain level, and they can achieve a certain level. And once that is ingrained in someone's head, it's hard to get out of. And you need some serious, inspiring role models to look up to. And when you look at someplace like, I don't know, if you look at like the backwoods of Kentucky, where we haven't touched on that issue with the Fed and Bill Sparkman.
Man, that is some scary, scary shit, that one. That
it's amazing no one is is talking about it on the news. I mean, imagine if that was a teabagger, or imagine if that was a soldier. Nonstop coverage.
Oh, yeah. I think there might be a little bit of it, because I've been trying to follow a bit of the press on it, that I think the local cops and the feds who were only assisting at this stage, I think a bit are trying to keep the media spotlight away so that they can actually investigate, because it's like they know that this has the possibility of being something really, really, really bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, we have seen this before where something sensational happens, whether it's sensationalized or it itself is sensational, where you get that media machine out there, you know, especially on something that could be as touchy as this, you know, maybe wanting to make sure that they got all their ducks in a row before they, you know, release too much information. Because I saw a whole lot of people saying that because the local cops were not flat out saying that it was a murder, they were interpreting that as them saying that it still could be suicide, when in their statement they didn't actually say anything like that. Like, I can see when people of my own world view might be ready to jump the shark just a little quick. But, you know, no one writes "fed" on their chest before hanging themselves, especially when it looks like he was probably killed somewhere else and hung there for display.
Oh, I'll tell you something specifically that a lot of people missed up on the updates. They intentionally leaked it out later. But do you know when he was killed?
Was it on the 12th?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I think I now remember. I came across that little tidbit of information as well.
And
there's a whole bunch of people. There's obviously some paid people out there hitting all the boards and all the blogs. When this story first kind of made it last week into the mainstream media, you know, outside of the local press, you could see, like, these copy and pasted, comments that were, probably there's a whole lot of pot farming down there, you know. It was like, you know, pot farming, blah, 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 and crystal meth. And, you know, but it was like, pot farming? They must have run into a pot farm. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, that's possible. More likely it was a meth farm, which you had way down the list. But if it had been drug related, do you think, and this is me just kind of spewing, but
yeah.
Have you ever seen anyone with a drug killing outside of like city gangs ever be displayed for propaganda purposes?
No.
The body's usually made to go away, and
the
relatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just vanished one day.
Yeah. Exactly. And the fact that, I mean, we have to really look into the fact that it was on allegedly he was hanging on 9/12. This goes back to the line that Michelle Bachmann and Glenn Beck.
Bachmann,
and,
especially, because she's the one that's been specific about the census.
Right. And I heard, I don't know if you caught this, but there's a blurb that someone actually confronted Michelle Bachmann and asked her about the census killer. And she ran away real quickly. But I wanted to touch on something that I wanted to recommend to you. I don't know, have you heard of a documentary called Petropolis?
No, Petropolis.
It's one you're going to be, probably you and Gail are going to be really interested in watching. It's an aerial documentary about the tar sands in Alberta, Canada.
Oh, right.
And it's amazing. The trailer, if you go to YouTube, if anyone wants to check it out, just type in Petropolis trailer, and you'll see like this harrowing landscape that looks similar to like the moon in West Virginia. Only you'll get to see like the entire just acre after acre, and then finally they come across the oil the tar sands plant, and it's really It's really surreal. It looks like, I kid you not, it looks like a computer graphic, but it's all real.
I'm actually at the website for the film, which is petropolis-film.com. And
right.
they've got video and photos and whatnot and more information, but I'm seeing just a few of the the images, and these are just absolutely amazing. And you're right,
and,
it looks like some sort of blackened moonscape.
right. And I just wanted to give a little good news before I head off into the ether. The horn ether, that is. So I don't know if anyone's caught this, but there is someone in Staffordshire, England, who has discovered 1,500 pieces of Anglo-Saxon gold.
Those pieces are amazing. I was checking. I was checking some of that shit out online the other day. One of the most extensive finds. And are you familiar with a UK series called Time Team?
No, I can't say I am.
There seems to be a lot of this archaeological shit going on in the UK, and probably a lot of it comes from, and you can probably find it on the web, this show Time Team, where they basically do three-day digs all over the UK. And it's amazing how, you know, in such a small piece of land that has, you know, so much population still out in these fields, can be these artifacts that just go back, you know, centuries. It's incredible. And
I'll tell you the most amazing thing about it is in the article it says that the way he came across this land was he decided after he had a dream and he saw fields of gold and he decided to go out that day in the field that he thought he would find the gold. So... I mean, that's pretty amazing in itself, how he was able to stumble on that kind of treasure. And I do believe that someone was directing him or leading him, because I don't think, I mean, the probability of finding one piece, two pieces, three pieces, but 1,500 pieces is insane.
It is insane, you know. I mean, he couldn't have ever dreamt of anything like that. Gene just sent me something, and I find this a little disturbing, and I've kind of complained about Apple before with the way that they promote themselves as being, you know, really with it and forward thinking and all that, and sometimes what's behind them doesn't add up. They've actually censored and removed a single payer iPhone app from the Apple phone app store because it's too political.
You know, that's hilarious to me that Apple would do that. But this is also, as I told my my family, I said, you know, Apple really doesn't have an excuse why they can't manufacture over here. Yes, they lose some money, but they don't need to go over to China to manufacture. I think they would get more thumbs up than anything if Apple just decided to pull out from China and be like, you know what, we're going to set up and shop in America because we know people need lots of jobs and we are an American company. I think it's ridiculous when you look on the back of an Apple and it says manufactured in China, designed in California. We've had that talk before.
Oh, I know. you know, and you're absolutely right. You know, Apple already has such kind of a dedicated following, and more I'm trying to figure out for what reason, especially after what I've learned about, you know, Australians paying 20 to 60% more than the entire rest of the world for all Apple products. And there's no explanation to why, and I just sit there and think, you know, for all that loyalty and you're getting screwed even more just because you're Australian, isn't that special? But
One funny story before I go, there is a person who has sued Bank of America, John, and he has a really good amount. He's suing it for several billion trillion. And the judge said that is rather a large number that we're not able to put on paper inconceivably. But he said... I guess the reason why he was mad at some of the routing numbers. So this guy Chiscombe decided to put together a lawsuit, and he's actually filed papers for this billion-trillion lawsuit, and he expects Bank of America to pay promptly.
Good luck, but good on him.
Well, John, I see it's 11:52.
Yep, it is.
I think you need to do a proper wrap-up for the show. We'll talk again next week. It was great talking to you, as always.
All right, man. And that new Alice in Chains album out tomorrow.
All right, yeah, the new Alice Chains is out tomorrow.
And they're playing. They're doing two nights on Jimmy Kimmel to launch the record, which could be good.
Wow.
So, anyway.
We'll see what they can do.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
All right, later.
All right, man, take care. And that was our good friend David in Maine, pop culture correspondent and just kind of everything correspondent. And, from this little piece here, this is ridiculous. iSinglePayer, an iPhone application that advocates for single-payer health reform, was rejected from the App Store by Apple because it's politically charged. The application displays charts and bullet points about single-payer healthcare systems, and it allows users to call members of Congress. iSinglePayer even calculates your local congressperson using GPS and displays the amount of money donated to each congressperson from the health sector. The application was submitted on 21st of August and rejected on the 26th of September. More than 5 weeks after it was submitted, most applications take 10 to 14 days. How are you sitting on that healthcare debate there, Apple? Or someone within... Interesting. And then, But see, again, not living up to the whole image. But yet they have a Drudge reader. Oh, that's not politically charged? I sense a double standard here. Or is it just me? Well, anyway, thanks for being here, folks. Thanks for the calls, Cassie, from David. Bob Kincaid, I think, is going to attempt to be back tomorrow night. I think he might have dug through enough of the scum that has affected him. It sounds like the same scum that I had, and so hopefully you'll be back tomorrow night. If it is the scum that I had, I feel sorry for you. So it'll be good to have Bob back, because, well, we didn't have Bob most of last week. And as usual, thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the stream and the archives. Thanks to Gene, our news ninja, news producer for the show, who dealt with me today going, I don't know what I'm doing today. Just post something. And you can find links to stuff that we had today over at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
So I stuck my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat, I said, imagine that, that's me, working for you. Oh, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out your scene, we're breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read? What gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out, or to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign?
membership card to get inside.